Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's July 11th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And a bit later in the program, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, M-Cool, mandatory country of origin labeling, will be included in an appropriations bill for the USDA. Washington seems to have found an extra $7 billion. They plan to spend it on USDA food and nutrition programs. Those dollars are said to come from a new lower farm payment limit. And Iowa Senator Tom Harkin says 5 years is not long enough for this round of the farm bill. He wants a 6 or 7 year bill. Dave Dickey will have complete details of these and other stories shortly. And then we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. That'll happen just after the bottom of the hour. Oh, and along the way, U of I Ag engineer Ted Funk will join us to tell us how to successfully build and maintain an on-farm corn pile. It all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, looking to nature for discoveries in food, feed, and fuel. ADM, resourceful by nature.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby July wheat at 6.11 settled 19 cents higher. September's at 6.22 were up 20 and one quarter. December futures up 18 and a quarter at $6.34 a bushel. July futures in the corn pit at $3.36, down 2 cents. September's down 2.5 at $3.43. And the December for the new crop settlement price at $3.55 and a half were down a penny and a half today. July beans, $8.91, up 2 cents. The August at $8.96, 2.5 higher. And November futures up 2.25 at $9.22 and 3/4. Bean meal futures now July contract. They settled $2.10 higher at $2.46.40. July bean oil at $37.55. down 0.13 for the afternoon. Over at the Mercantile Exchange at 114.62 and a half, they were 60 cents higher. In the feeder cattle, the August contract, August live cattle at 92.25, 27 and a half cents higher, and the October futures up 25 cents at $96.75 a hundredweight. July lean hogs down 50 at 69.82 and a half. The outside markets trading now, the crude oil August contract at $72.55 at the last tick. They were down 25 cents for the day. The CRB index at 322.8. That's down 0.24 for the day. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 13,530 is just about 28 points higher at this hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange, as he does every Wednesday afternoon, Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
A lot of sunshine, kind of cool weather for this kind of month in the year. What, 75, 77 degrees outside. Beautiful if you want to be outside working. And prices in Chicago for the day. In the wheat pit, a little bit higher.
Yes. You know, Todd, there was basically a story that there was some export business to India. The three major grain companies made the sale. It was for 500,000 tons. It had been being negotiated for quite a while. That was one of the opening bullish items. And then generally the general feeling is tomorrow we could see a smaller USDA production report. There's been some wheat possibly not going to be harvested in Kansas. The weather forecaster is extremely generous on additional rainfall for that geographic part of the country. But when it's all said and done, the bins are going to be pretty empty this coming season as exports and domestic usage are going to keep the inventory very small. Wheat is a popular commodity fund bull market, and we continue to see the market close higher today.
Tell me about the corn and the soybeans from the Chicago Board of Trade.
This morning, my private meteorologist that I have the most confidence in, at the bottom line, the western corn belt's going to see 7 to 11 degrees above normal temperatures. East of the Mississippi, 3 to 7 degrees above normal temperatures. I met temperatures on that first one, 7 to 11 degrees above normal temperatures in the west. Definitely, this week is cool, next week is warm, and you have to go out into the following week to get some kind of a rainfall forecast for the northern areas. It could cool down, forecasted by Drew, but the other weather people we watch very closely are very stingy on rainfall and feel that the western belt is going to see definitely yield loss and the crop ratings drop. My opinion, that possibly overseas tomorrow's fairly anticipated bearish supply numbers on new crop corn. But the marketplace took note of it, did see some sell-off in corn. But the general opinion is it is going to we are going to see some extremely warm temperatures next week.
You talked about weather and the July crop production numbers and WASDE numbers. Usually speaking, the July crop production numbers wouldn't have much of an impact, I don't suppose, on either the corn or soybeans. The WASDE numbers, they'll watch. Wheat is the one where the crop production number might have more of an impact. But you're suggesting that whatever it is, the marketplace will turn to weather very quickly?
That's my opinion. Of course, with this tremendous acreage report and acres we have in corn being planted, you know, that's going to steal the show. And even if we have a 152 bushel per acre average, it was pointed out that the carryover next year is over 1550 billion bushel crop by some market forecasters. So it is large. We do have to shrink the crop, and the best way to shrink it is some rough weather here in the next 30 to 45 days. The marketplace is also looking at commodity funds long liquidation. We saw that yesterday and the previous day. The funds are concerned about some of the bearish fundamentals, and the weather just couldn't keep it propped up today.
Take a look, if you would, for me a little further out, maybe to December 08 corn, December 09 corn. Tell me about what those two figures are telling us about crop needs in those 2 years and what producers might think about doing with this year's crop because of that.
Well, we are plagued with this storage problem and also a basis problem right now with what to do with the new crop corn. I'm sure country elevators will know what to do with an empty bin, and the farmers are probably sweeping out old inventory as well. The big question is, if demand stays on track, we do need to have another large bin buster crop coming down the road. With high-priced beans, it'll probably be kind of a tug-of-war and maybe even a rebalancing act of corn-soybean acreage. But the general anticipation is we still will have a fairly large corn acreage. Ethanol is still the key ingredient here, and you know, my opinion is it is going to demand a very large corn acreage. Somewhere along the line, we do have to grow bean acres, and I'm not sure if we have to really grow corn acres that much, but there's going to be a tug of war in here, and at least to keep the corn acreage bid up, we have to pay for it, and that's one reason why we're seeing a 4 in front of the DS08 corn.
Well, do you think then, and maybe I'm just off on a wrong tangent here, but given the $6 price for wheat, do you think that the battle for acres in the United States will be wheat and soybeans and sort of the battle for the scraps of the acres?
My hunch is I don't sense there's going to be the groundswell to plant a lot of wheat, soft red winter wheat acres like we saw the last year. I think a lot of people experimented with a lot of extra wheat acres last year and basically have nightmares of what happened between the winter kill and the poor yields and the, you know, the wide basis. And I'm going to say there's going to be a fairly large wheat acreage planted, but nothing like we saw last year. And as a general rule, I think the experimenting with large wheat acres, we're not going to see that this coming year.
And I suppose that would be fairly typical that every time farmers try the soft red winter wheat, when they're used to growing corn and soybeans, they find a lot of problems that they really don't like to deal with.
Well, there's chuck holes all the way to the elevator anyway.
Yes, there are. There's winter kill, and 1%, if you get 1% infected with a disease, then you have to call in some kind of chemical salvage, and it's just a tough crop to raise, I suppose. Anything on the mercantile exchange that we ought to talk about?
Well, the big factor here continues to be the better prices today. We still had more hogs, and one of the beautiful ideas here is that we were haunted from past crop production reports that the hog numbers would be down and livestock demand would be down, and therefore we wouldn't have the feed usage. So it'll be interesting to see how the government plays that particular card in this coming report. All in all, this cheaper corn should augur well for the hog and cattle industry as far as profitability.
Paul, we appreciate you being with us.
Thank you very much.
Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
At the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Our own Mike Sola says tonight across the two-state region in northwestern Illinois, skies will become cloudy, scattered showers possible after midnight. Elsewhere, be clear to partly cloudy. Lows will range from 55 in northeastern Indiana to 62 in southwestern Illinois. Tomorrow in northern Illinois, partly to mostly cloudy, a few scattered showers, some isolated thunderstorms too. In central and northern Indiana, becoming partly sunny, a chance for scattered showers and thunderstorms during the afternoon. Elsewhere, partly to mostly sunny, highs tomorrow from 75 near Lake Michigan to 86 in the far southern parts of Indiana. A weather system for the two-state region extended forecast will move from the southwestern states into the Midwest over the next few days. The Pacific moisture will meet up with a weak cold front, and that should bring some chances of rain to the area on Thursday and Friday. Dave Dickey is here now with today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, House Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Peterson says the USDA appropriations bill, now working its way through the committee structure, will include a section that will require USDA to meet benchmarks for implementing country of origin labeling for meat and meat products. Peterson says House Agriculture Appropriations Subcommittee Chairman Rosa DeLauro plans to include the benchmarks in the bill when the subcommittee completes work on the measure tomorrow. The two benchmarks reportedly will require specified USDA actions on cool no later than April 1st and July 1st, 2008. If the benchmarks are not achieved, the plan is for $10 million to be cut from funding for USDA's agricultural marketing service. Meanwhile, Peterson may have found some reserve funds for Farm Bill 2007. Sources say the chairman may be able to scrape up about $7 billion to fund increases in USDA food and nutrition programs, as well as funding for energy initiatives. One source of the new funding could come through a reduction in the farm program payment limit and cuts in crop insurance. The House Ag Committee is set to debate Farm Bill 2007 next week. Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Tom Harkin says senators will consider a 6 or 7 year farm bill and not the 5 years being considered by the House. Harkin says he needs a longer bill because he needs budget savings from 2013 to 2017 to write the kind of bill he wants. Harkin concedes it's becoming increasingly likely that senators will consider the farm bill after the August recess. Harkin also says he is having difficulty finding reserve funds outside the baseline budget. Harkin says without reserves, the farm bill, in his words, is not going to be very nice. A Brazilian foreign ministry spokesperson says Brazil is planning to join Canada in a complaint lodged at the World Trade Organization against unfair U.S. agricultural subsidies. A few weeks ago, Canada formally asked the WTO to establish a dispute settlement panel, charging that the U.S. had breached WTO commitments by surpassing a $19.1 billion WTO spending limit in 6 of the past 8 years. In addition, Canada also cited the U.S. for trade-distorting agricultural subsidies of soybeans, corn, wheat, and sugar, among other products, via an export credit program. The Brazilian Foreign Ministry plans to release a statement tomorrow. And the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals will hear oral arguments on Friday in litigation brought by RCAF USA against USDA regarding the agency's rule allowing imports of Canadian cattle. The suit was brought by RCAF USA to keep the USDA from allowing the imports, contending that Canadian cattle carry a higher risk of having BSE than their U.S. cousins. On July 3rd, RCAF USA also requested that the court take under consideration before Friday's hearing a recent publication by the Centers for Disease Control that provides CDC's statistical analysis of BSE testing data for Canada and the U.S. The report indicates the proportion of Canadian BSE cases identified by testing is statistically significantly higher than those identified by U.S. testing. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find almost all of the daily ag programming. You can listen to it online as an MP3 file or sign up and have it delivered directly to your computer as a podcast. Speaking of signing up, don't forget while you're on willag.org to hit subscribe for our weekend newsletter. It's absolutely free, like everything else on the website. Right there at willag.org. Well, up next, it looks like corn will be worth a lot more money next spring than it will be this fall. And that means farmers should store their crop if they can, but not all of them have enough bin space to do that. I'll have a report from the University of Illinois on how to build and keep a corn pile on the ground on the farm. Well, the size of the corn pile will determine some of the needs. In this case, U of I's Ted Funk says it's not economical to put a pile in place until it gets pretty big, say 30 to 50,000 bushels. That's when the agricultural engineer says the farmer should use a moisture barrier underneath the pile and suck down the cover on the top of it. Most importantly, he says there should be a way to draw air through the corn pile to keep it from spoiling.
What a lot of people do will drape corrugated drainage tile over the top of the pile and then put the cover on top of that. So the drainage tile will actually bring air in and under the cover and then down to the top of the pile.
The fans are used to pull the air through the pile and out from under the cover. These serve a dual purpose. First and foremost, the fans keep air flowing through the grain. Secondly, the fans pull a suction on the tarp that covers the pile. This should hold it in place. If all goes well, a covered, aerated pile of corn should stay in condition until next spring. Well, if the extra storage needed isn't nearly so much, say 10,000 bushels, not 30,000, then Ted Funk and an organization called the Midwest Plan Service have some other ideas about what to do with the grain.
I've also thought about the smaller operations where you may have, some older harvest doors or concrete stave silos, something like some odd things that you might be able to store some grain in as well. And the trick with those is to not overload them. With a harvest store, I'd just suggest calling up harvest store and getting the manufacturer's recommendation on how to convert those to dry grain storage. With the concrete stave, again, Midwest Plan Service, the number 13, the Grain Drying Handling and Storage Handbook, has some good guidelines in there for how you convert and use various kinds of alternative storages, including the concrete stave silo.
The main thing about using the stave silo, says Funk, is the unloading. The grain must be pulled from the center. Otherwise, the weight of the grain will become off-centered and distort the sidewalls. For more information on temporary grain storage construction, visit Midwest Plan Service on the World Wide Web. One other temporary storage possibility that Ted Funk says works well is to use ag bags. Those are the plastic storage bags used for silage. Just make sure the corn is under 15% and seal it up until next spring. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3751. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
It's a Thursday, rather a Wednesday afternoon here at the radio stations and all around the globe, or most parts of the globe at any point. And we're joined to take a look at the cash grain market by Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Kay.
Well, good afternoon to you too, Todd.
Why I would want to hurry up and make it tomorrow is beyond me, because it's just a gorgeous day outside today.
It is. It's beautiful. There's no doubt about that. We can turn the air conditioning off tonight and enjoy the fresh air.
You bet. Let's open the windows up. Let's talk about the cash grain market just a bit. Better start with the bean basis first.
Oh, my. It is getting sloppier by the day. We dropped our new crop bean basis 7 cents yesterday, and some analysts this morning said there's places, and I haven't verified this, in Illinois that are already $1 to $1.50 under for cash beans. So I'm assuming it's because this huge surplus we've got out there is going to eventually move or is moving, but the bean basis is probably going to be at historical low levels, some that even I've never seen before.
You say like you've been around for for a long time.
Well, I've been around for 20 years. In 20 years, let's put it that way, I haven't seen them this low.
That's better. So I've been around 20 years, too. So let's go with that number. So what do farmers ask you at this point? They really haven't been all that excited about moving soybeans. And are they willing to store them? Do they have the place to store them? What are they asking about at this time?
Oh, there may be some that'll hang on to them, you know, and until next year, because, I mean, you know, they're talking maybe $10 beans if they've got the room, but it's going to be awfully hard to logistically handle them because we're going to have a huge corn crop. Now, I did have a guy this morning that has 20,000 left out there. He did sell 10 of those. So they're looking at merchandising them, I think. So, you know, we're seeing a little bit more interest in letting some of them go, but. And, of course, I think even the farmers are aware that this base is just going to continue to slip. And even though the flat price is going to be really good to them, you just hate to see these basis levels deteriorate because you know what's going to happen.
How about with the corn?
Corn, you know, I'm not sure that there's really a lot left out there. The corn basis has improved maybe 5 to 6 cents since we talked 2 weeks ago. It's kind of leveled out here a little bit. Here again, they're emptying the bins in corn, too, but you know, I think towards the end of the summer, I just feel like that there's not a lot out there. If the domestic demand holds up real good, this basis could continue to get better clear into harvest.
And what are your bids for the day?
All right, cash corn today is $3.43, cash beans $8.46, and cash wheat is $5.46.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Kay Whitlock is with Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. In 2 minutes, we'll talk about the agricultural weather with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. A homeless man accused of shooting police at Champaign's West Side Park last month is scheduled to be arraigned this afternoon. 46-year-old Donnell Clemens was shot by police in return and is still hospitalized. He's to be transferred to the Champaign County Jail for a video arraignment at 3:30 today. Clemens faces attempted murder and several firearms-related charges. Authorities say Clemens shot at three Champaign police officers when they approached his parked car after responding to a report of a man with a gun. Vermilion County health officials say the evidence points to bacterial meningitis as causing the death of a child in the county last weekend. But County Health Administrator Steve Laker says more tests by state and federal labs are needed to confirm the disease. The city of Champaign could have a new transportation master plan by this fall. The city council last night endorsed the work done so far by city staff and a consultant. In addition to making future plans for designing, building, and financing Champaign streets, the new plan will also look at future needs for mass transit, bike routes, and pedestrian traffic. Champaign's current transportation plan was put in place 15 years ago. The LaSalle County Sheriff's Department is conducting a homicide investigation after two people were found dead in a home in rural Seneca. Authorities say deputies responding to a call for an ambulance found the bodies of a man and a woman. Indiana's child welfare agency seems to be getting better. A federal judge has lifted a consent decree on the agency after testimony said the Indiana Department of Child Services had improved the handling of Marion County's child neglect and abuse cases. Leaders of the Assemblies of God denomination will have a lot to talk about at their annual meeting in Indianapolis next month. The head of the church says he will step down two years before his term ends, and nominations for a new leader will be taken at the meeting. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner. He's the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the weather in the Midwest.
Well, it's looking pretty dryish out there. Not a lot of meaningful precipitation coming up now for the next week to maybe 10 days. It's not going to be totally dry, but what rain does occur will have a really tough time countering evaporation. And the end result is that we will see a firming of the soil in many areas, with crop stress becoming more and more of an issue, especially in the western Corn Belt, in those areas of Iowa, western Iowa, extreme eastern and north central sections of Nebraska, South Dakota, and western Minnesota. These areas have seen less than a half inch of rain in the last 2 weeks, and we may not see anything more than that over the next 2 weeks, and that's just not enough precipitation, and the end result here is that crop stress will become more and more punishing to that region. And to make matters worse, the temperatures are going to get a lot warmer as we get into the latter part of next week and on into the following weekend, when we'll probably see temperatures in the western Corn Belt getting up into the 90s and lower 100s. That will likely push those crops over the edge, and we will continue to see an acceleration in potential losses in corn yields in some of that northwestern area. Now, meanwhile, back across the central and eastern parts of the Midwest, the situation won't be quite as stressful. We do expect some shower activity every once in a while, and temperatures won't be quite as hot as they will be in the western Corn Belt. And the end result is that, yes, we'll see some stress evolve, but we aren't going to lose nearly as much potential yield as we will in the northwestern Corn Belt. Of course, the crops in the lower parts of the Midwest are much further advanced and have already completed pollination in some areas and or will be doing so over the next week or 10 days. So the situation is going to be primarily critical in the northwest.
Tell me a little bit more about the northwest, if you could. When you look out further than 2 weeks, and I know you do this from time to time, what do you see for them as we head into the latter part of July and early August?
I see the pattern that we're in right now continuing during that period of time. The first half of August and the last week of July, seeing a continuation of a drier-than-usual bias across a large part of the Midwest, but including the northwestern areas, and alternating periods of milder weather with some very warm conditions. So the same kind of situation that's occurred up to this point is likely to continue on into that period of time, and that's likely to perpetuate the situation a little bit. The only sign of any hope that we could have for change is that if we can get sea surface temperatures out there in the Pacific to turn much, much cooler off the California and Oregon coast during the next few weeks, if we can do that, we will likely send the ridge of high pressure far enough to the east that we could get a southwest flow pattern going again, and that would generate greater amounts of rain in the western Corn Belt. But given the way the overall atmosphere and ocean conditions are right now, I'd say the odds of that happening are very low.
So if you were to put some adjectives on it, would you say not devastating but detrimental?
Absolutely. That works real well. It's definitely not going to be a 1988 repeated, but we will definitely lose some yield of significance in some areas. But we also have some pretty good crop conditions in other parts of the Midwest that will help to pick up some of that loss, and it may not be nearly as bad. But my concern is actually shifting more and more towards the soybean crop than it is for the corn crop, just simply because corn will already have moved through a large part of its pollination when things really get bad. But the soybean crop, you know, the critical time for them is going to be late July and August, and it might be a little stressful if things go as they are.
We appreciate you being with us, Drew.
Have a good day.
Drew Lerner is the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, and that is today's closing market report. Remember to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first in-depth look at the markets, and we'll take you through the WASDIAN crop production reports as those come out from the United States Department of Agriculture at 7:30 a.m. They'll be posted to our website right away. And you can also sign up to get our newsletter at willag.org. We'll send those numbers directly to you just after 7:30 tomorrow morning. I'm Todd Gleason.